In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Attaboy, John, you are right on target. Nice shooting.
Thanks, Stan. I love it when you hand me the controls and I get to push the buttons and watch the Beagle, the HMS Beagle, go glubby glubby glub glub with Darwin aboard.
Oh, there he goes.
I'm John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of Sink the Beagle, where we take very lighthearted looks at the rather serious subjects of origins, where we came from, where we are going, and we talk from the light of scripture and the light of science and try to make some sense.
And the lightheartedness of our own spirits.
And lightheadedness of our brains. So anyway, here we go again. And what are we going to talk about today, John?
We're going to talk about, Stan, to some degree, of mice and maggots and men.
Mice, maggots, and men. There
Actually,
we
want to talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh, there's an elephant in the room. What is that elephant in the room doing here?
You know, when it comes to evolutionary theory, that is, the elephant in the room, Stan, is the origin of life issue. It's
an
issue that
kahuna.
They have never yet been able to solve, and the explanations given by, like, Dr. Ruse and others of where life, how life came into existence are a stretch, to say the least.
I thought that life organized itself by growing on the outside of a quartz crystal, which gave it structure and somehow or other grew legs, and there we go.
Yeah, and there's some property I want to sell you.
Okay. Are you saying that life is a smidge more complex than that?
I think now
couple smidges.
The biochemists and the microbiologists are saying, you know, there's no such thing as a simple cell. Even the subcellular
parts
are phenomenally complex and interdependent.
There's
an interdependence, irreducibly complex kind of structures and needy things that go on in the cell alone.
Complexity just continues on.
And to Darwin's we were a little hard on Darwin, but Darwin did not have the advantage we do of when electron microscopy.
Yes.
And advanced powerful electron microscopes could see very small organisms and suborganelle.
Right. Yes, all the structures that life is made from.
And so he didn't have that advantage, and therefore he thought life was kind of simple and not too difficult.
Simple life.
And he mused that, you know, maybe there was some sort of pond with some sort of scum or something in it.
And he admitted that one of the great challenges for his theory was the origin of life, and to this day it is still the elephant in the room because, as you just said, John, the more we study life, the more complex it gets, and to imagine complexity coming out of something simple like a pond of water with a few chemicals floating around in it with maybe some lightning flashing and a few other things going on there, it's hard to imagine it coming.
Yeah, what they really had, Stan, in that worldview back then were just sort of several fundamental vague ideas about how life formed, and they actually sort of had this idea of spontaneous combustion of life.
Well, not combustion, spontaneous generation.
Generation, okay, I'm sorry.
You know, same sort of thing.
I always think of the time when I soak something with gas, and it only takes a spark to get the fire going, you know?
Only takes a spark, yes. Kaboom!
Yeah. Kaboom. No.
Well, maybe the Big Bang of life is really what we're talking about. How things can start from just a few chemicals and suddenly become living, you know, drawing breath and conscious and here we are today kind of thing.
What caused them to think that are just a few simple things which they thought proved it.
One was
sort of like that dirty old socks and wheat could be left open in a jar and eventually it would produce full-grown mice.
When you put wheat there and somehow or other mice appear, I guess that would seem like they came from it. About 3 weeks, okay, and there they were. were there any other examples that prove spontaneous generation?
Well, they thought that maggots were spontaneously generated from meat.
from rotting meat. Huh?
Rotting meat produces or
maggots and therefore flies. And so somehow they were just kind of tied together.
Mice and maggots, you know, so goes man. You know, we just somehow kind of just shazam over time and enough mutation. And
We are larger maggots. Okay.
That was the origin of life, mm-hmm. so to speak. And of course, there are experiments done by Louis Pasteur later on when they had better microscopes, he could see very small organisms.